Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Friday morning. A couple of questions. Quarterbacks in the Keystone State, and they're key to returning. Key, you like the view you're seeing this
Friday
morning?
Let's go.
That really hurt my ears.
You're fine. It's Friday.
Coming from the loudest talking man on earth. That really hurt my ears. I'm just
get him, Zubin.
The irony
get
of that
him.
Is a little strange, is it not?
Coming to America, too.
I don't even know where to start with Zubin.
There's a little irony in there, isn't there?
Loudest talking man.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'm not loud. I'm not loud at all. I do talk. That's what I'm paid to do. I'm paid to talk.
Well, there are times you are very flamboyant in your delivery.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Zubin, how did things go for you last night?
See what I mean? I mean, I just.
That voice, though, I love it. I love it. It's epic.
Even after the virus, we should be 6 feet apart, so I can't take it. No, what did you guys do last night? Because there was actually some movement. It's been dormant in the NFL. Hope you guys had some things going on. More spring training?
Oh, yeah. I can't.
Two nights in a row?
Yeah. Cubs, Dodgers. What you mean? I need to see what's going on with my team, man.
So early. You're locked in so early.
No, I just want to – I just need to see it.
Yeah.
I need to see it. I try to watch a little college hoops here and there. You know, I
watch Michigan last night?
I did not. I was on Oklahoma something game or something I scrolled through. But ID baseball was my
ID network baseball.
Well, it was on. Actually, it was the Oprah network. I didn't that. You know, you can go Oprah. You can go on. You can go Oxygen. All of them got all the kind of stuff that I like. But baseball, spring training.
I saw Michigan close it out. Happy for Juwan Howard and what they've been able to accomplish. The way they bounced back after that loss. And I watched the NBA All-Star Draft, which was – it was always great when you see the best team with the best record in the league have the last two picks in the All-Star, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. The slander continues for the Jazz.
That it does. Last two guys on the reserve squad, no less. And LeBron threw a little bit of shade, and we'll get into
that
in just a little bit. And it's great because the Jazz and the Lakers are actually going to meet twice in the second half of the season in a less than a one-week span. So I don't think it's going to be the last time we're going to hear these comments, because when they get together, Utah and Los Angeles, possibly 1-2 in the West down the stretch, I think those comments will come back to light. Some comments here about the NFL and the quarterback carousel that should have been moving at an incredible pace but isn't. We
really
do have, obviously, the trade, Goff and Stafford. We do have the move of Carson Wentz, who I'm going to get to in a second. The Steelers are bringing back Ben Roethlisberger officially. He's going to reduce his pay to, almost a third of what he was scheduled to make, but that was something that was out there. So he's back. The Steelers won't be looking for anybody, at least for this year. Carson Wentz, by the way, put his $1.7 million home on the market. If you got $1.7 mil just laying around waiting to spend it, and you've always dreamed of living in rural Salem County, New Jersey, this is your opportunity. It's actually a great, great house. But the question becomes this morning, if Wentz has the for sale sign in front of his house,
why
there,
did he wait so long?
Yeah, I would have put that thing on the market during the middle of the season.
Middle of the season. I'd be out.
All the pictures are on there. You can find it online. It's very creepy when they post all the pictures of like someone's house with the jerseys.
This
and
is
all
where
that
he
stuff.
Sits and has coffee. In the morning.
Indeed. Look at the master bathroom tub. Everything's in there. Everything's in there. So the question is, the for sale sign is out in front. He's looking for some housing in the Midwest. Key, why haven't more for sale signs been out in front of other quarterbacks? Essentially, if we thought there's going to be all this rapid movement, and Ben is back, the big swap, plus the Wentz move, why haven't we seen more as we head to free agency about 12 days from today?
Well, I think you will see more, but it won't be what you think.
That accelerated rate we were hoping.
It won't be the accelerated rate, because when you look at it, the starters, backups go move every single year. That's just what they do. Whether it's Matt Barkley, is he staying in Buffalo, or is he moving? I mean, that's just, you know, backups do this. They move around. But when you go and you look at the quarterback starting position for the teams, and you go from as far up as Seattle – and come all the way down through California, Arizona, wrap around Vegas, come back down, go through Texas and find your way through Florida, maybe wind through Minnesota and circle back through and come up all the way to Buffalo. How many teams really, really, and you got to hear what I'm saying. Don't be talking about that we need a quarterback. Really need to change the starting quarterback position today.
How short is that list for you?
That list is probably four or five teams. Four or five teams.
They are.
Let's start by saying it would be Washington, which needs a quarterback. Chicago, which needs a quarterback. Let's throw Carolina in there, even though they have a starter. That's still there under contract, but he scrubbed his social media, which is always the signs nowadays. So that's three.
Patriots.
Patriots is four. Denver, maybe? Maybe. I'm going to put them in the maybe category. And who would I be missing outside of that? Indianapolis got their guy. Jacksonville is, we all know they need a quarterback. He need a whole damn team. So keep them to the side. Who else?
That's really about it, right?
Right? I mean, when you look at it.
Chicago? We already said Chicago.
Yeah, I said Chicago.
You want a solution for the Pats real quick?
Yes. Go
Here's
right
a
here.
Solution. ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese. A reunion of sorts. How about this guy?
I believe that he is their top option. They would love to have Jimmy G back. I believe that. And so here's the way I read it. The 49ers have been sniffing around quarterbacks just to see if they can, you know, upgrade their situation, because Jimmy has some health questions, right? Like when he plays, they've usually won, but it's when he plays. And so to me, the question is, like, if you put something in front of them that might entice them to move him, what might it take for them to do that? And I heard what John Lynch said on a great podcast where he said, if Jimmy's healthy, I really believe he's going to be our quarterback in September. To me, it was decisive, but it wasn't necessarily the doors closed. And so to me, I'm keeping my sniffer on that one.
What is that smell? Yeah. What is that?
He's right. But okay, so we can play a game here, talk about it. So what are you getting if you're San Francisco? If you're the New England Patriots, I'm going to give you a fifth-round pick for Jimmy. Because if you go and get – what are you going to get? Deshaun Watson or Matt Ryan? Both are going to cost you some money. Deshaun more than Matt. Matt has cap issues. So when you talk about those two, Teddy Bridgewater is not an upgrade for San Francisco. If you move Jimmy G – now you got a hole in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So now you say, I'm going to fill that vacancy with Deshaun Watson. So now John Lynch is going to give up. Do you want to give up?
A lot of collateral.
Like, do you really want to just – do you even have the stuff to give up that Houston's looking for? And does Deshaun want to play in Houston? So let's assume that makes sense. So now you start this quarterback movement now all of a sudden. Now what is Houston going to do in return? Where do they get their quarterback from? Do they all of a sudden take San Francisco's picks and move up to try to get one of these young guys? So it's all these dominoes that's falling, but it starts with Deshaun if Deshaun wants to go to San Francisco. Everything I'm hearing from the people that I know that know Deshaun, that's not even something that he's even thinking about. I mean, it's just not.
Another name I throw out there, and I know we all think potentially he will end up there, but it's 2021. I don't know what the hell is going to happen these days. What for some reason Dak doesn't get franchise tagged? That could be another effect. That could be another major, major domino effect. If he doesn't re-sign for a bigger deal, they come to an agreement that they don't want to franchise tag him, then what happens with that scenario? Then what happens with Sam Darnold and the Jets? I know there are a ton of QBs in the draft, but you know, supposedly they like Zach Wilson. There's still a lot of factors into this whole thing. I just want to press pause a little bit on the fact that, hey, this carousel is over. I still think there's a lot of moving parts.
Last thing I would say, and we're going to discuss this throughout the course of the morning, the thing with Jimmy G that's the most interesting is the residual, as Key said. You move Jimmy G back to New England, it's obviously a great story. But there's probably nobody in the league, maybe save Andy Reid, that is more particular about their quarterback than Kyle Shanahan, right? He wants, you may not like Kirk Cousins, he loves him for certain reasons. So if you move Jimmy G, then you have a quarterback whisperer that just wants a guy that he specifically likes and is going to target, and that's going to narrow his list, and that could make things very interesting for a franchise that has only, for the most part, had legendary quarterbacks when you think about the San Francisco 49ers.
Steve
we'll talk
Bono.
About this. Steve, the other Steve. I was thinking Jeff Garcia, but that's just me personally. Jim Druckenmiller. I knew I'd get you, Jim Druckenmiller.
Oh, God. I was about to say Tim Rattay.
He has hung on for a long time, that's for sure. On the way, Jim Druckenmiller, Virginia Tech's greatest. On the way, timing is everything in life. But in this particular case, in one of the biggest stories percolating in sports right now, the timing might just be all wrong. The fellows will dig into that after Key has this from Granger.
Well, man, Zubin has a wealth of knowledge about the NFL. For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, about a half hour away from our Dan Graziano, who's going to help us dig back into this discussion of what quarterback moves next and why haven't we seen as much movement as we expected. We're going to dig into that ourselves coming up in about 15, but Dan's expertise is on the way in 30 minutes. Okay, fellas, let's go back to a story that has a mini resolution, but not one just yet. Just to refresh everyone's memory, last Saturday, Creighton playing Xavier, highly emotional game in the Big East, and Creighton's head coach Greg McDermott, after the loss, told the guys in the locker room he wanted to, quote, have them all, quote, stay on the plantation, a poorly used phrase that he was trying to encapsulate. We need to stay together, stick together in times of adversity. And then after apologizing and saying he saw pain in his players' faces, putting out a statement but not taking any questions about it, they lost a big game to Villanova a couple of days ago that could have helped them win the Big East Championship. They're certainly headed to the NCAA tournament. So now Greg McDermott has been suspended by Creighton at least through tomorrow's game against Butler. That's their regular season finale. They will play their first game in the Big East tournament the following Thursday. That'll be March 11th. But just to let you know, for if you haven't been following college hoops that closely, they clearly are going to be a tournament team. I'm going to get into some of the particulars in just a second on exactly who's taking over and some of the other things that only really Creighton fans would know but is important in a macro sense in a minute. But first, guys, the timing
convenient
of it all. Suspended after the game he coached in which they could have won the Big East Championship but fell short. Clearly, the comments were made last Saturday. Could have missed that game that could have helped him clinch the championship. He was there and is now suspended. Jay, what do you make of the timing?
I mean, like I just said, convenient timing. I know they're a private institution, Key. I know that they're allowed to do things when they feel it's convenient for them. It's just optically, this is a horrible look for Creighton. Horrible look. And first off, the fact that it happened is a horrible look. Secondly, it shouldn't take you multiple days to come to a conclusion that, hey, we're going to suspend you indefinitely without a timetable, Zubin, on when they're ever going to bring him back. So it's not like you needed to do an investigation on this, Key. No. Like the coach admitted to it via his tweet. Like, really, like telling the world about what happened because it was going to come out anyway. When situations like this are handled this way, it makes me even more frustrated because it's like, oh, well, if we beat Villanova and we win the Big East, then everything maybe seems okay on paper. Maybe it seems okay. But, you know, we lose. We gave it a shot. Now we're going to suspend him. Just the timing of it is horrible. It's horrible.
It's always about winning, and don't care about people's feelings and how, you know, you could say, well, I understand that my players are hurt and all those sort of things, but you coached a game to try to win the Big East title, and once you realize that the Big East title wasn't going to be won, then you made a decision as an institution that you were going to suspend them or whatever the case is. I'm like, you know, these sort of things get me so frustrated that I get so sick and tired of talking about what we all expect is going to happen and it winds up happening anyway. I anticipated something would happen after the Big East tournament that they didn't win. I figured, okay, they're going to do something. Now, whether it was him completely resigning and stepping down.
Which he offered to do, by the way.
He offered, yep.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, that's the part that makes it look even worse, right?
Look, Coach Jay. Yeah, I get it.
I get it. Yeah, but
I don't need to offer to step down if I want to step down. You do understand that, right, Zubin? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be on the show anymore. I just see you guys later. I understand that I talk loud and Zubin can't handle it, so I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to ask, hey, that's asking. Jay, do you want me to do something different? Hey, Z, do you want me to coach you? No. He was never – just because you go to your team and your players and they're young and you say to them, well, you know, if you guys want me to resign and step down, I'll do it. They're not going to say, yeah, coach, we want you to do that.
That's why I said this is a university decision. Like, I'm not going to put this on Greg McDermott because I think a lot of people – I'm not excusing –
Which part you
– I'm going to clarify. I'm not excusing his actions at all because he should be held – accountable for his actions.
Yes, absolutely.
But I'm not going to put it on Greg McDermott to fire himself or to step down himself.
I understand. No, I understand.
The university needs to draw a damn line in the sand.
I get it.
And say, no, you don't have the power here. We have the damn power. And we're going to implement a suspension, not 2 days, but right now. Before we have one of our biggest games. And we're going to show the world that, yes, basketball is second to the moral code that we hold ourselves
to. But is it?
But apparently, that's what I want, a perfect society, but we don't live in a perfect society.
No. Their stadium, Zubin, are pretty much sold out every single game.
Quest Center in Omaha, 20,000 every night, packed to the
gills. Packed. And he's
Has
been
it been that way during the pandemic?
Or no, is, no, no, no. Okay, okay. Under normal circumstances.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Hey, I don't know. I haven't been up on everything. There's a lot of sports going on these days.
I get it. And considering this, I get it. You look at it, it's about the money. It's about winning. And it's not about someone's feelings or how you have insulted people. They don't care. They don't care. The institution does not care. As long as we keep winning, our enrollment, those applications Ooh. Will keep coming in. That's the reality
and,
of it.
And here's the thing that's frustrating about it. They win that game, right? Think about how we love to marketing collateral key. Big East champions. Like, you're not afraid to flaunt that to people if that were the case. And I'm not saying that takes away from what the kids are able to do, but then that becomes the narrative that kind of sweeps.
Oh, you could totally sell a story.
Underneath
God,
the
yes.
table, right? Underneath the rug. Like, okay, well.
They were behind him 100%. They played for
they
him.
They played
if you
for
can
him.
Tell.
They fought for
oh,
him.
They fought for
you
him.
You know,
they
that narrative spins quickly.
And
that doesn't mean that they maybe don't love their coach or maybe they can't work towards. Why'd you make that face, Subin?
No. I'm just.
When I say love their coach, you made a face like, oh, I love the coach.
No.
Okay.
I know we got to run, but. It's a great situation if you win, and it's a great situation if you lose.
Yeah, let me just add a couple. Go, Jeff.
I was just going to say a lot of people say crazy things. I'm not saying that Greg McDermott doesn't deserve a second chance. Me, personally, I would have suspended him right from the get-go, mm-hmm. indefinitely.
Yeah, let me just mention two things. I think the olive branch could be the school, because it's a private school, said that any further sanctions that they do make will not be necessarily disclosed publicly. I think an olive branch is to essentially say, in a case like this, even though you're a private university, tell us the extent of the discipline and then let everybody else decide. They will be replaced. McDermott will be replaced by a guy named Alan Huss, who is a Creighton alum, fourth year on the staff. Paul Lusk, another assistant, third year on the staff, and the lone African-American assistant on the staff as an assistant coach, Terrence Rencher, in his second year on the job. A guy named Len Gordy is their diversity and inclusion officer. So if you look at this story next week and say, oh, they just popped up a diversity and inclusion officer, they didn't. This job has been there for a long time. No, no, that's what
you
happens.
Have to clarify, you have to clarify those things.
I'm like, all of a sudden, we hear about a diversity. I'm like, huh?
No, no, they've had one.
I'm glad you said that.
And they've had one for years, and this guy's been associated with the program for a really long time. So maybe that's the guy that needs to speak in this situation. That is what he is there to do. On the way, is there one quarterback that could finally loosen this logjam of quarterbacks that supposedly we're going to be moving this offseason? The domino effect. Who's the one guy that could change it all? Believe it or not, it's the one guy that might be the hardest to pry. We'll answer that next and talk about it and get your calls. Keyshawn, J. Will and Zubin, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Couple dates to remind you of. We're about a dozen days away from the start of free agency. You have until March 9th for that tag, and then July 15th to consummate a long-term deal with said quarterback. I think we're talking about one in particular who you just heard. Keyshawn, J. Will and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, we're asking this morning to all of our guests and the discussion we're having that's pretty robust with regards to who is the quarterback that could move the quarterback carousel. Seems to be a bit of a log jam at this point, but what's the one move, the domino effect that could set it all off? Our NFL insider, Dan Graziano, has a very interesting answer. That answer is on the way in 11 minutes. But Jay, who is the answer to that question for you? The guy that could break the proverbial logjam.
I'm still going Dak. And I made the mistake the first talking about him not being franchise tag. Franchise tag him. But if you don't feel like you have a long-term solution with him, Key, then you deal him. And I do feel that for a guy like Dak who wants, what, $40 million?
No, he's going to get $40-plus million.
So he's
going to
get more than Deshaun Watson.
It's his time.
Because Deshaun's at 39, right? Would you value him to be more valuable than Deshaun Watson? Because Deshaun Watson's at 39. So he'll be the second highest paid quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes, essentially, who's at 45, right?
Yeah, but you asked me if I value him more than I value Deshaun. Or is it you're asking me, is he a better quarterback than Deshaun? Hmm. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes. Is he a better quarterback than Deshaun?
I look at them as 1A and 1B. I can live with either when Dak is healthy. I can. Some other people probably can't.
Okay.
And when you start talking about money and contracts and things of that nature,
there are different ways to get there.
No, there's different ways to get there. But what I was going to say is he's going to leapfrog. Not leap. When I say leapfrog, not like blow it away more than the next guy. He's going to surpass Deshaun Watson whenever his deal gets done because he's next. That's just the way it goes.
When the market was set by Deshaun and by Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. It was set by Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. It was set by Russell Wilson. Then it was set by Patrick Mahomes, and it was set by Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson numbers, plus or minus, on real money. I'm talking about real money, not cap space. I'm talking about cash that comes out of the owner's pocket into the player's pocket. Their numbers are basically identical.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the first several years of the contract, what is the guaranteed money? And people don't really understand that sort of thing. They look at $500 million. Okay, well, we all know he's not guaranteed $500 million. What is he guaranteed over the first 3 years of the contract? What is Deshaun Watson guaranteed over the first 3 years of the contract? Now, Dak Prescott will look at that, and then he will say, okay, because as you look into the television money going up, the salary cap is going to go back up, even though right now it's a little bit down. The owners are putting money in their pocket. The players know that the owners are putting money in their pocket. Every single year, players leapfrog each other. Whether it's my position, when I came in and redid my deal, I was the highest paid receiver in the league. Then all of a sudden, as soon as I did my deal, guess what? Number 84 in the purple with the braids said, no, man, I got to get paid. Then Randy Moss leapfrogged me. And then the next guy leapfrogged Randy Moss. And then the next guy leapfrogged him. And so that is what happens in the league when you are a top player. That's just no matter. And I know some people say, Jay, you shouldn't pay this type of money because it will handicap you from being able to sign other guys on your team. Man, come on, man. The Rams have been signing dudes every other day for big contracts.
Yeah, but I don't see there being a plausible scenario where if they can't come to an agreement, they would franchise tag him for the third time, too, after that. Because then he would be making $50 million a year.
Keith. What do you think? So you said that number, $50 million, yes. Right? I know people out there think there's no way, based on the percentage of where the salary cap is going to be, he would eat up a huge amount of that the third time around. But what I would say is, just because the average says $50 million, again, what is the real money that he's putting in his pocket? Not the average, because I can make my average look like anything, because all I got to do is extend the contract out and push the money to the back end that's not guaranteed, but the cap number says something and my average says something. That's when agents start to talk about, look what I got my client. He's a $60 million. He ain't going to never see the back
the
end
full,
of
the
money.
Back end money, yeah.
So it becomes just ink on a piece of paper at that point.
But still, I would personally think that I don't think that would be worth it, though, if there was another suitable quarterback on the market. Like, say if, you know, I know Dan and Rossini said that, look, Seattle Seahawks, they're not taking it. They're taking a couple calls about it, about Russell Wilson. Yes. So is that a plausible scenario? Like, I would see that Dak Prescott, if they can't wave him until March 9th, right? Essentially,
yes,
the
March 9th.
Franchise tag.
Yes.
Right? So if that were to happen, if they can't come to a long-term agreement, I can see that being a domino effect to a pretty big degree if Dak doesn't want to be there long-term.
Well, look, if they made a decision to franchise tag him and he doesn't want to play for $37 million, and then they made the decision to move him for somebody else that's out there, there's two franchise tags. There's the restricted franchise tag, which they're going to put him on, and then there's the unrestricted franchise tag, which is the non-exclusive exclusive. Mm. And so when you start to think about the franchise tags, you say to yourself, which one? He's going to be exclusive. He's not going to be non-exclusive. Non-exclusive goes to guys that teams kind of sort of want to deal with, but they really don't want to deal with them. They'd rather have them go out there and see what they can get in the open market, and then they could wind up trading and picking up picks at high value. So that's not going to happen with Dak Prescott. He's going to be an exclusive franchise tag guy.
Right. You want to make sure that if this guy truly is your guy, that if we're going to offer him this amount of money, that no other team is going to be able to match that.
Exactly.
That's the way they say, oh, you don't love me. You haven't offered me a deal. If you put him in a situation where here's what we're going to pay you and nobody else, hands off for everybody else, that's the best way we can say at this time in a short-term perspective, we really want you.
That third year, though, Jay, that $50 million sound like a huge number, huh?
Yeah, it's a massive number.
Think about what you think Aaron Rodgers, and I'm predicting he's going to sign an extension between today and the start of the football season. What you think his average number is going to be?
It's going to be high.
It's going to be 50-plus million dollars. He's going to hit it out the park.
Yeah.
Right. But Aaron Rodgers is a Super Bowl champion.
Exactly.
He's been to five NFC championship games.
I get it.
Dak's never been to one.
It's your time, though. Right?
When
it's your time.
I'm never trying to steal money out of somebody's pocket, but that's a lot of money.
I get it.
And you still have so many other issues to address on this team.
But when it's your time, baby, it's your time.
It could be time for another guy. It definitely is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So it might be the most important thing said in this segment, by the way. Got to pay the bills. So Jay kind of broached the Russell Wilson situation. This is exactly Diana's tweet, and this is interesting because we know Russell doesn't want to be traded, but if he does, Dallas is one of those options. So this is interesting. This is Diana on Thursday, straight off her Twitter feed, quote. So listen to the distinction here. Quote, I was told the Seahawks are not, quote unquote, shopping Russell Wilson, but calls made from other teams inquiring have been answered. That's an important
have
distinction.
Have been answered.
So they're open to it. Yeah. And what do you think about that? Because to me, Jay, the difference there is Deshaun is going to get a haul and we're going to go crazy. We'll do 4 hours when he obviously ends up on a new team. But nobody would be surprised by it because the public and private posturing has been there. With Russ, if you can pry Russ out of Seattle, even though I know he's unhappy, but if you can pry him, that's what I think could unfurl the logjam. Because then if a team gets Russell Wilson, fans of any other team are going to say, hey, we can't stand Pat. We were told there was no way Russell Wilson was really available, and X team just got him. So if I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm like, what are we standing Pat for? Are we going to get Russell Wilson? No, he's on another team. But hang on a second. If he's available and somebody could pry him out of that region, it's not just a city, as Kia said. Somebody pries him out of that region, I think that could get phone lines burning.
Yeah, you're going to get – but I'm going to ask for everything, man. You're going to have to give me the building. You're going to have to give me your logo. You're going to have to give me everything to get my quarterback off my team because I don't have a problem with my quarterback. My quarterback has a problem with me. So it's going you're going to have to give me a lot. It's basically, in the end, the way that I look at it, is somewhat of a non-starter. Because if you don't give me what I'm looking for, why are you even calling my phone? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to pick it up because that's what I do. I pick up the phone. I don't play the Houston Texans game and hang up the phone or not answer or look at it and push, ignore, none of that. I answer the phone.
Well, yeah. Let's play this game. So what's an offer you couldn't refuse on Russell Wilson? Right? Because I listen
the
to
same, the same the same offer you going to give me for Deshaun?
Huh.
The same offer somebody
three
would
first
give.
Round.
Yeah,
three first-round picks.
See, three me, like, good first-round picks, though. Don't be giving me no 27 and 30 and 32. I need the same sort of stuff that you going to get for Deshaun.
Yeah, but the Texans aren't answering the phone. The Seahawks are, though. You know what I mean? So
I understand, but if you come to me and we're negotiating and you say, hey, Mr. Johnson, I like to be called Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson, we really want to talk about Russell Wilson. Okay, we could talk about Russ. What do you want to talk about? Well, we'd like to see if he's available. He's available. What's your price? Mm. Well, we only want to give you two ones. Yeah, my phone's messed up right now. I got to go to AT&T. I mean, but if you tell me I'm willing to give you three ones and I know two of your ones are in the top 15, now we can start to, hey, let's
dance
talk
a little bit.
Let me go talk to Zubin and see what he thinks. And let me talk to Jay and see what he thinks. And then we can start to, but it's got to be a lot. You can't be coming to me with no 29, like I said, 29th pick, 30th pick. I don't want to hear that.
Indeed. You would never have bad service if you went with Straight Talk Wireless, just so you know.
Straight Talk too.
No contract. No compromise. Last thing before we get to our NFL insider, I would just say, because Dan Graziano used to cover baseball, it's just sort of public posturing. You know, if you live in a big market, New York, Boston, L.A., Chicago, you just got to say we made a call for this prospect or this guy so the media doesn't crush you the day before the MLB trade deadline. Same thing in the NFL.
Chicago's interesting. Here's why Chicago would be interesting for Russell Wilson. So if I'm Chicago – and I got some issues there. Here's what I would do if I'm Chicago. I'd look at Allen Robinson because you could use him.
Franchise tag him.
And I'd non-exclusive franchise tag him and then move him to you. And then we could dance a little bit, you know, with those picks. I'd move him to somebody, take those picks, move him to Seattle, and then give up some more stuff to him to grab a Russell Wilson, if I'm Chicago. It's complicated, but it could be done.
We'll get into it throughout the course of the morning. Obviously, dealing a wide receiver would require less capital, too, so that's interesting. Time to start the day with Dan Graziano. Start the day brought to you by Indeed Hiring. Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Hey, Dan, good morning. We're asking this morning, what quarterback would unfurl this logjam? We got the big splash, Stafford and Goff, and then we got Wentz, and then it's been kind of quiet. So who's the one quarterback here that if they were moved could get this whole thing going again?
I have an answer, but I just had to laugh because poor Allen Robinson, all he wants to do is play with a good quarterback. Now you're bringing in Russell Wilson, but you're trading me to get him to some place that doesn't have a quarterback anymore. Sounds like a nightmare. Allen Robinson continues to live. My answer to you is I think if Jimmy Garoppolo were to be moved, that would signal a lot of change in the quarterback landscape around the league, because I think if Garoppolo got moved, it would probably be to New England, but it would mean that the 49ers have found another solution, right? It would mean the 49ers have secured Deshaun Watson or traded up to get one of the top guys in the draft or traded for a quarterback that we didn't know was available. They can't get Russell Wilson, obviously. They're in the same division. But I think that would signal a lot of movement. Look, if Deshaun Watson gets traded and it's to, say, Carolina, that doesn't necessarily have a lot of ripple effect. But if you start to see the 49ers change their plan at quarterback, I think that means a lot of other things have happened or are about to happen at that position around the league.
Hey, Dan, how much does Big Ben's new deal help the Steelers in terms of their salary cap?
A little. I mean, it looks like they're going to save about $15 million this year. It's just such a weird deal, right? He did this restructure and supposedly took a $5 million pay cut. They're saving a million more than they would have saved if they'd cut him if they had done a full restructure and only $4 million less than they would have saved if they'd cut him. It just seems like they're prolonging the inevitable there. I don't see how this helps them re-sign anyone like Bud Dupree or Juju Smith-Schuster or any of those offensive linemen that are free agents. I think the Steelers are in a position now where they're going to have to make really tough choices, and they're going to be a team that goes into 2021 with a lot of pressure on Mike Tomlin, a lot of pressure on Ben Roethlisberger, and they're going to need contributions from a lot of young players and probably rookies if they're going to be a contender in what looks like a really tough division. So they really wanted Big Ben back for one more year. He really wanted to be back for one more year. They both got what they wanted. But as a result, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to put together a Steelers standard competitive team.
Dan, we keep talking Dak Prescott, obviously. We're going to continue to talk about it until deal's done. March 9th is closing in on him for the franchise tag. What's the latest on Dak's deal, if there is a latest?
Well, I mean, there's a deadline coming up of sorts, right? Tuesday is the latest date that teams can use the franchise tag. And Dallas obviously will use the franchise tag if they don't have a deal done by Tuesday. They've been talking. I mean, they've had recent talks. I mean, the state of talks is tough to characterize. You can't get anyone on either side to tell you, oh, it's progress or it's encouraging, whatever, because they've known, each side's known where the other stands for 2 years now. Right. So a deal could be done if one person picks up the phone and makes the right phone call. It could be done in 5 minutes. Everybody knows what each other wants. So I was interested to learn this week. You know, there's a difference between the exclusive franchise tag and the non-exclusive one. If you use the non-exclusive one, that means other teams can offer the guy a contract, and then you would get two first-round picks if they signed him. The Cowboys used the exclusive tag on Dak last year, and they plan to do that again this year. So they're serious about keeping him. They don't want him on the market in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm.
Dan, how unhappy is Russell in Seattle? Because you know us, like, we'll start, you know, concocting different trades, and can he go to Chicago? You know, how is this whole thing going to work out? What do you think?
There's a pretty big range between, like, how happy Patrick Mahomes is in Kansas City and how happy Deshaun Watson is in Houston, right? So let's look on that scale. Russell's kind of like, I feel like he's kind of sliding a little bit, but he's so sort of passive aggressive about it. Like, it's hard to get a real read on it. You hear the agent last week tell Adam Schefter, was that just last week? 2 weeks ago? Anyway, it's hard to keep track of time. You hear the agent tell Adam Schefter, no, he doesn't want to trade. But if he did get traded, there are four teams that are interesting. So I think he's let it be known that he's at least mildly unhappy with the situation. He hasn't demanded a trade. But there is certainly this list out there, and there is still a lot of smoke there. So it's worth watching. I still think the most likely outcome here is that Russell Wilson is a Seahawk in 2021, and how the offseason and the season goes could determine his future there. But, you know, you guys are talking about phone calls being answered and Mr. Johnson picking up the phone and all that kind of stuff. It's not nothing.
It's worth watching.
I'm picking up the phone for you, Dan, anytime you got something on the other end that I want to listen to.
Thanks, Mr. Johnson.
Dan, let me ask you this before I let you get out of here. So we're playing this quarterback carousel deal. There's two guys that are free agents, so to speak, and there's one guy that's under contract. So Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, and Mitch Trubisky, which one of these three guys is most likely to not return with their team and most likely to return with their team?
Oh, to not return is Trubisky. I'd be very surprised if the Bears brought back Mitch Trubisky at this point. It seems like, you know, 3-4 weeks into the season last year, it seemed like the coaching staff there was done with him. They went back to him because Foles wasn't getting it done. But I don't think Trubisky is what Matt Nagy wants at quarterback. I could turn out to be wrong, but all the indications out of there are that they will go in a different direction. Most likely to be back of those three, I think Jameis Winston, because Sean Payton has made it clear publicly that they want Jameis Winston back, and I think they could bring him back and make him their starter or put him in a competition with Taysom Hill, whatever. So I think the Saints are trying to make that happen before free agency starts. And Darnold is, you know, sort of in the middle because we don't know what the Jets are going to decide about what they want to do with the two pick, what they can get for Darnold, what they could get for the two pick, that kind of thing. So that would be the order I would put those guys in answer to your question.
Yeah, I would agree with that because they paid Taysom Hill the money, but he's actually been Sean Payton more effusive in his praise if you hear some of the comments about Jameis Winston and what his future could be. Dan, thank you very much. We'll see you on Get Up with Greeny and Company in just over an hour over on ESPN. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, Danny.
Thanks, guys.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. I just thought of this.
Yes.
If you walked into the Jets facility, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you walk in, former Jet, and you run into Woody Johnson or Christopher Johnson. Who's Mr. Johnson then? Do you all address each other as Mr. Johnson?
You already know what Key's going to answer to that. That's not even the question,
Stop
the Key.
That, man. Right, what's up, Woody?
Hey, you call.
What up, Woody?
But if you ran into Bob Kraft, what would you call him?
Bobby. Will,
you call him Mr. Kraft.
Not calling
you
Bobby.
Said them on the air before.
I would say Mr. Kraft.
All right, so you can say Mr. Johnson to Woody or Chris.
I'm calling him Bobby.
Bobby?
What up, Bobby?
It's informal. Bobby.
I don't know, man. It's too deep to dive into what I would say to Woody Johnson. Them. I don't want to. It's a deep dive.
Or as they say in New York.
That's
you know,
Key after dark.
Yeah.
As they call Bob Kraft Bobby, or they call him in New York, Crafty Bob. That's
oh, God. Oh. All right, let's move along.
Fingers by Zubin.
It's just been out there. That's all
Crafty
I'm saying.
Crafty Bob.
It's true.
Oh, no.
I don't lie. Just facts.
Hey, I love it.
Real facts with KJ and Zubin. Could have been that.
Loosen that collar, baby.
Crafty Bob.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.